Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
All right, so 15 years ago, I went to visit the Philippian church in the Philippines, praise God. How many of you know that's where the Philippian church is from? Obviously, the Philippines. Give me a wave if you're from the Philippines. Give me a holler, give me a shout. No, you're not real Filipinos. No, no. Because if you were real Filipinos, you would have been standing with a microphone singing karaoke right there. You would have been passing out spring rolls to everybody because that's what you do. Let's give it up for all the Filipinos that are in the life of the church. Thank you for your spring rolls. Praise God. You shared them with us all. But I ended up going to the Philippines 15 years ago to speak at a conference, speak at a Bible college graduation, yada, 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 yada. We got in there on the Thursday, had a great time in church over the weekend. Monday, we got to hang out with a bunch of pastors. We went to the shopping center and had a wonderful time at the shopping center down at the mall there. And then we went out that night, preached the word of God. How many of you know I can be enthusiastic? And that's probably what I was on that day. Preached the word of God on that night. And I remember the altar call that night as I was speaking on the call of God and people responding to the call of God. The altars were full. The altar was packed with people worshiping God, crying in the presence of the Lord. It was wonderful. Then at about 10:30, we went back to the hotel. I went back to the hotel. The hotel wasn't a 4-star, 3-star, a 2-star. The hotel was probably like a 1.25-star. You know what I'm saying? How many of you have ever been to a hotel like that? No, for me, I don't need a lot. All I ask for is clean sheets. Praise God. How many of you know you don't want crusty sheets? Amen. All right. All right, so you don't want crusty, and you don't want food in there and other things, chickens or anything else in the. No, you just want clean sheets. So as I'm coming back into the hotel, I walk through the foyer and I'm thinking to myself, because I haven't had dinner, I had lunch, I haven't really had dinner, had a little bit of supper, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, what am I need something to eat, but the room service here isn't necessarily going to be up there because, like I said, it's probably 1.5 star. I don't know, it was what it was. And so as I'm going through, I saw a vending machine that had ice creams, praise God. How many of you know ice cream is the food of champions? Especially after preaching all day and you're in the Philippines and it's hot. So I'm like, so I grab myself an ice cream and then I grab myself a can of Coke. Praise God, out of the same machine. It had both ice creams and cans of Coke. It was incredible. I didn't grab a line of Coke. No, no, no. I grabbed a can of Coke. Some of you are like, did you say what I thought you just said? I think I said it. It just came out. It happens occasionally. And so I grabbed myself a can of Coke. I grabbed myself an ice cream. I jumped into bed. Now I'm there by myself. Georgie's here. I jump into bed. I do my little star jumps. How many of you know that's what I do when I jump into bed? As in, typically, when I jump into bed, I walk through the room. I jump towards the bed. My clothes go in all the different directions and land on the floor robe ready for tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? They're there, ready to go. I jump into bed and I do my little star jumps to warm up the sheets. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know? My mirror, all right. So I got my can of Coke. I got my ice cream. I got my little star jumps going on. And then I drink it. I got this TV on and the TV's got nothing on it. So I'm like, I'm exhausted, to be honest. So I had my Coke, and then I go to sleep. At 1 a.m., true story, 1 a.m. How many of you have ever been in a deep sleep? And then you go like this, in a deep sleep. As in, I typically sleep like this. In a deep sleep and all of a sudden. And you feel it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you look down at your stomach. Vroom, vroom. How many of you remember the movie Alien from the late 70s? How many of you remember that scene? You know the scene? The scene where you see the stomach of the main woman. I think it was one of the characters in there, and then bah, out comes the alien. That's what it felt like. It felt like there was an alien about to burst forth. So I jumped out of bed. I ran as fast as I could into the bathroom and exploded. Exploded. You might be like, that's too much information. Oh, I've got more. I exploded. Out of every orifice in my body, it was on the walls. It was on the ceiling. It was in the fan. It was everywhere. For 6 hours, I laid on the floor all by myself. All by myself. I was crying and I was exploding. It was terrible. Now, I don't know what you're imagining, but it was worse. I promise you, it was worse. It was like a Technicolor bathroom all of a sudden. It was just like horrible. I lay there for 6 hours, rolling around in it. It was all over me. It was in my hair. It was in the hair on my back. It's really hard to get it out of the hair on your back. I'm covered in stuff. And I got the shower on. Now, it's only cold water because it's 1.25 stars. Cold water, I'm laying in there, swimming in it. So it's for 6 hours. And then at 7 o'clock and the sun's coming. How many of you know the Philippines? Auntie Barbara! It's like Auntie Barbara's everywhere. It's like there's chickens and roosters and it's like, I got to get ready to go preach. So I got myself up and cleaned it out of my hair and cleaned it off my back and off my legs and got myself showered, but I was wrung out. I was done. And so I got myself ready. I went downstairs, put my little bag that I carry everywhere, and I'm leaning against the lamppost. I'm dying. Like I said, I'm leaning there. Then along comes this little motorbike, and the guy goes, Pastor Shane, what's the matter? And I'm like, I exploded. And he goes, quick, hop on my bike. So I hopped on the bike and I hugged him. I've never hugged anyone quite so, especially a brother. I've never hugged any brother so tight. I was like, I don't want to fall off. I'm fanking down the road. We go into the compound, which is where the conference was. The gates open. It was like a prison. It really is like that, to keep people out as much as keep people in. And so the gates open, I ride in, and everyone can tell immediately that we have got trouble. And they're like, Pastor Shane, what happened? Oh, I exploded. And so they said, quick, get into the four-wheel drive. So we got in the four-wheel drive, went to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, I started to learn about dehydration. I learned the very real dangers that come with dehydration. How many of you know? So they still call that night in Legazpi, by the way, the night of the chicken's revenge. That's what they call it, the night of the chicken's revenge. It was the night that the chicken got me back. You know what I'm saying? How many of you know, I love chicken. I can eat chicken 24/7. I love it. But that night, the chicken got me back. There's no doubt about that. It was the night of the chicken's revenge. I'd had chicken in the morning. And so at lunchtime when I'd been out at the mall. And I've got to tell you, it was the best chicken I've ever had. KFC and all these herbs and spices? Whatever. This chicken, it was like a time bomb in my belly. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, they said to me later, they said, Pastor Shane, think in the future, if it tastes too good to be true, it probably is. It probably is. There's a reason they put all of those herbs and things on it. And so you can't tell it's going to kill you. It's like, okay, I'll work that out. But I didn't just learn about chickens, but I learned about dehydration. Dehydration will close you down. Dehydration will close you down. And if you don't see it for what it is, and many of us don't, if you don't treat it seriously, it can actually kill you, like D-E-D, dead, kill you. It's like, that's what will happen if you become dehydrated and you don't deal with it. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 37, the prophet here gives us an account of dry bones. Everyone say dry bones. Everyone say dry bones. How many of you know you do not want dry bones? You do not want dry bones. Brothers and sisters, hear me well today. If you're watching online, you do not want dry bones. None of us here want dry bones. Ezekiel 37, reading from verse 1. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with dry bones. Filled, absolutely chockers with dry bones. He led me around among the old dry bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere, all across the place. They were scattered everywhere across the ground. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today, can I encourage you to listen to the word of the Lord? If there's anything you need to hear in 2021, it is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, today, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to breathe into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke these words, just as he told me. Suddenly, here's the thing. Speak the word of God and you'll get a suddenly. Speak the word of God and then will come your suddenly. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as they had been before. All right, so Ezekiel watched muscle. Ezekiel watched the skin. Ezekiel watched flesh form on the bones. Skin covered them. And then he spoke to the wind, and the breath filled the bodies, and they stood upright, a vast army of them. Verse 11, then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent..." Now, it's very important that we hear this. These bones represent something. We're not talking about dry bones for the sake of dry bones. No, they represent something. These bones represent the people of Israel. Now, we know that Israel in the Old Testament represents the church in the New Testament. When God is speaking to his people, God is speaking to his people. We know that before Christ, the Israelites were God's people. Then through Christ, the Israelites and the rest of us can also become God's people. But these people here, they represent the people of God. And the people of God are saying, "We have become old." Has anybody else in this room become old in the last 12 months? God bless you. Praise God. Two of you. I can promise you, I saw you 12 months ago and I see you today. And I said to Georgia the other day, "Georgia girl, is it my imagination or do half of our friends on Instagram that come and visit us from time to time, are they all looking older?" And she goes, "Yep." I think we've all felt the realities of dehydration over the last 12 months. I think we've all felt and have become a little worn down with it, a little run down with it, a little dried out with it, a little dehydrated with it. I think the last 12 months has been harsh on all of us, and as a result, we are all feeling it. They are saying, "We have become old, dry bones, all hope is gone." And maybe that's how you've come to church today. All hope is gone. Maybe you're feeling dry in your spirit today. Maybe you're watching online today. Friends, if you're watching online today, and it's like maybe you've been in church and for whatever reason you're on school holidays or whatever, praise God for that. But if you haven't yet come back to church and you're watching online, I appeal to you, I plead with you, there is a time where we need to rise up and enter back into the house of God with the people of faith that we might get ready for what God has got for us. I don't want you to have dry bones. I don't want you to have dry bones. And at the end of that, we've got to deal with our stuff. Everyone say, "Deal with my stuff." How many of you know only you can deal with your stuff like I can deal with my stuff? We need to deal with our stuff. Maybe this is how you've come to church today. Maybe this is how you're watching online today. If you were to be honest, your skin is dry. Your bones are dry. Your heart is dry. And in your spirit, you have become dehydrated. Maybe you're feeling like all hope is gone. If that's how you're feeling, praise God you're in church today and you're watching online today, because God wants to fill you afresh with his spirit today that you might be hydrated in him. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. All right, so we find ourselves here. Ezekiel 37, verse 14. "I will put my spirit in you." And everybody said, amen. Amen. Are there any enjoyers in the house today? "I will put my spirit in you." Everybody said, amen. 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 Come on, Lord. I don't know about you. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I need more of God. Anybody else here need more of God? God says, "I'll put my spirit in you." And we say, "Oh, whatever, man." No, no, not whatever, man. Amen, man. Amen, God. I want your spirit. I want your word. I want your truth. I want your life. And everybody said, amen. "I will put my spirit in you." And listen to this now. "I will put my spirit in you and you will live." Some of you need to hear that today. They said you would die. They said you were lost. They said it was over. But I say you will live in Jesus' name. I say God will put His Spirit in you and you will live in Jesus' name. God wants you to live. I will put my Spirit in you and you will live and return home. Return where?
Home.
Everyone say home.
Home.
Return home to your own land. How many of you know I have a home address, but it's not my home? I'm a sojourner. I'm traveling through. As much as I have a home where I live with my beautiful wife and my two ugly dogs and my daughter who's pregnant, going to give me a grandchild, by the way, and my son-in-law, who's also going to give me a grandchild, but whatever. That's my home address. But I'm as home here as I am there. Why do we have home at last at every entrance to every Enjoy Church? Because this is my home. This is my family. These are my brothers and these are my sisters and this is my home. I'm going to return home. If you're watching online, come home now. Come home now. It's like Shane, you're urgent. It's like we came out of lockdown back in December. It is now April. Come home. God wants to do a work in your life that cannot happen on your couch. It can't happen by yourself, in your pajamas, eating your cornflakes. It's not going to happen like God wants it to happen. Come home. Everyone say, come home. Come home and return home to your own land. This is our land. Wherever you put your foot, that's where it's like. We're walking this thing out together. We are the people of God, the children of God. This is our home. This is our own land. It's a land of blessing. Sorry if I interrupted your thoughts. It's a land. Thank you. It's a land of blessing. I've been here 22 years. It's a land of blessing. It's a land of promise. It's a land of hope. It's a land of favor. It's a place for me where the presence of God and the peace of God and the joy of the Lord is just so real, real. You know, I'd be like, so you don't have this at home? Yes, I have it at home, but I don't have all of you at home. I'm meant to do life with you. You're meant to do life with me. We help each other. We encourage each other like iron sharpens iron. We're in it together. It's like, I can't do this on my couch. I can't do it. It doesn't work. There's an element in the Spirit that works when we come together like this. That's why we say, come home, come home, come home. So I was taken to hospital. Let's go back to the Philippines. The book of the Philippians. The Filipinos. I love them. I love them. The Filipinos that enjoy being such a blessing. And you know, I can't help but think it has something to do with my first times to the Philippines that established something in the Spirit. So I ended up. They released me. Like I said, so I did a deal. Did I tell you I did the deal? So the doctor is saying you're not going anywhere, and I'm like, you don't know who I am. I'm going to preach the Word of God. Because how many of you know if I've traveled from Australia to the Philippines to preach, I'm not going to sit in a hospital bed. Like, my name is Billy, not Silly. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get up. I'm going to preach the Word of God. The doctor says, you're not going anywhere. And I said, I don't like you. I didn't really, but that's what I thought. Because I wanted to go preach. He says, no, you can't go preach. You're dehydrated. I said, give me a glass of water. So I had a glass of water. Then I had two glasses of water. He said, it's not helping you. I said, yes, it is. I feel great. He goes, I just drank water, thinking that that's what it would fix, dehydration. Because in Australia, in Melbourne, we don't have real issues with dehydration. If we want a drink, we get up, we go to the fridge, we get hydrated, off we go. And it's like, the doctor's saying, you're not going anywhere. I said, I'm going. He said, you're not going. I said, I'm going. He said, you're not going. So we're having the... And so he says it's a little Christian hospital in the middle of nowhere. And he says, Pastor Shane, I know why you're here. I know why you're so excited. And I said, but he said, the reality is it's not good. But I will let you go. I will sign you out if you promise... If you get worse, you'll come back. Deal! Let's go. So he signed me out and off I went. I went back. We went back to the Bible college. I went into the pastor's premises there. I had a sleep for an hour. I slept for an hour. It's like I put my head on the pillow and I was gone. I woke up an hour later and it was like my head was in a vice. Whoa, did you hear that? You all heard what goes on in my head. whatever. All right, so it was like my head was in a vice. You might be thinking to yourself, but your head looks like it's in a vice. Of course, no, don't be rude. It was like, it felt like my head was going to explode. Excuse me. Felt like my head was going to explode. It's like, I had pins and needles everywhere. They were in my head, they were in my toes, they were in my nose, they were in my eyes, they were pins and needles. And I felt like I wanted to vomit in the pastor's bed, which is never good, never good. So I got myself out of bed and I staggered to the door, literally staggered to the door. And I opened the door and I looked out into the lounge room and they were all there. And they said, quick, let's get him back to hospital. So I'm going back to hospital. They gave me they got one of their phones out, like the old Nokia 3210 then. And it's like, can you ring my wife? Because I'm going to die. And it's like, they're like, you're probably not going to die. I said, I think I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to die. Can you ring my wife, please? So they got Georgie on the line. It's like, and so Georgie's here at church. So Georgie's like, hey, Shane, how you doing? I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to hospital. They're going to die. I got dehydrated and I exploded everywhere. It was terrible. Now they're going to die. She goes, Shane, you're not going to die. I said, I am. I'm going to die. And it was like, she's not listening to me at all. What sort of a wife wouldn't listen to a husband? Moving right along. I'm like, I'm going to die, baby. She's like, I'm going to die. She's giving me nothing. She goes, they're going to take you to hospital. You're going to be fine. I'm going to die. You're not listening to me. I'm going to die. She goes, Shane, you're going to be fine. I said, is Louise there? True story. Because Louise is a nurse. She'll give me some sort of empathy. It's like, you girls don't know what we go through. We are men. And when we get sick, we get really sick. You know, it's like a man flu. We're going to die. We get a cold, we get a die. It's like I've got a photo here. Here we are, praise God. When men get sick, that's us right there. That's us. Come on, man, let's give it up for manhood. We are men and we are proud. We know our weaknesses. We're not afraid to put it out there. We get it. We understand it. So Louise just said, you're not going to die, and gave the phone back to Georgia. That was the end of that. They say they care, but whatever. So I went back to the hospital. And the doctor smiles as I come in because he knew. How many of you have worked out doctors actually do know stuff? You know what I'm saying? Doctors do know stuff. Whoop, I've wrecked this now, haven't I? Because I pushed it against my head. All right, because I was in the vice. But doctors actually know stuff. He knew that I was going to have to come back because I was dehydrated. So after 3 days in hospital, 3 days, that's how long I was there for, they put me on the drip and I was there Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. They let me out on Friday. There was this young man. He stayed there like 23 hours a day, praying for me, sitting with me, talking to me. I'm like, who are these Filipino brothers and sisters? They're like angels. I said to the pastor when we were driving home, I said, man, that young guy that stayed with me, just praying for me, sitting with me, hey, what a blessing he was. He just encouraged me. And I said, thank you so much for allowing him to be here. He goes, oh, Pastor Shane, he wasn't there to pray for you. He was there to make sure nothing went missing. Praise the Lord. After the year that we've just experienced, we've all gone through it. And now we're all spiritually dehydrated. If you were not dehydrated at some point last year, you weren't in the game. We're all spiritually dehydrated to some degree or other. But we're not going to focus on that. It's one thing I know. If you're feeling dry in your spirit, you just got to get rehydrated. It took me 3 days on a drip. I just thought I could have a glass of water and it'll be fine, but it wasn't going to be like that. I thought I understood about dehydration. I didn't understand it. Brothers and sisters in Christ today that are wanting to follow God with all of your heart today, you need to know where you're at. And if you are dry in your spirit, dry in your heart, if you're feeling dehydrated, can I encourage you to do the things that you need to do that you might be made ready for the great life that God has got for you? We can become dehydrated for any number of reasons. Physical, emotional, mental challenges can lead to spiritual dryness. Separation and isolation from the body of Christ can lead to spiritual dryness. Hopelessness can lead to spiritual dryness. And we can go on and on and talk about all the different areas that will lead to us having dry bones. But the question I have for you today is, Do you know what you need to do when you realize and recognize that you are dry? Do you know what you need to do when spiritual dehydration begins to take hold? Do you know what you need to do? When I went into that first two-hour session at the hospital, the truth is, just being really honest, my attitude was, she'll be right. She'll be right. I promise you, there are lots of brothers and sisters everywhere. Thank you, my brother. There are lots of brothers and sisters everywhere, even watching online today, thinking, she'll be right. She'll be right. She won't be right. You got to deal with it. Because if you don't, it will deal with you. You can sit at home, you can stay at home, separated from the body of Christ, or whatever, just traveling around, in and out as you please, but it will lead to becoming spiritually dehydrated, and in the end, it will cost you your life. I don't say that to put a... No. I say it because I care for you, and I care for us. We need to be more than ever putting God first in our life and doing what we need to do that we might be a hydrated people in the things of God. Ooh. Praise God. If you want to leave your dry bones behind today, lean in and listen to Dr. Shane. Yes, I'm here to help. You might think you can go home and she'll be right, but I tell you, brother and sister, she won't be right. You got to do what you got to do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. He shouted, like you think I get excited? He's shouting to the crowds here, if you are thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow out from within. All right, now, I've got my top five things, and I'm going to shoot them out quicker than I've done in any other two. We're going to shoot them out. Can you receive it well? Can you receive it quickly? All right. We're going to go to the top five things, but I need to let you know on the way in that Georgie was not impressed. She wasn't impressed. I said, look at my 5 points. She goes, yeah. She goes, they're all valid and they're all real, but you need to spice them up a little bit because they've heard them all before. I said, you're going to Melton. So I sent her to Melton. They're having their own little revival out there. I went to the Philippians. You can go to the Meltians. I sent her away. So if you don't like my points, get ready. Well, all I can say is Bundon and Beck didn't like my points 2 years ago. And now, well, enjoy. Enjoy Cambodia. Praise God. She didn't like my points because she's like, these are the most valid points, but it's like, you got to spice them up a little bit, make them a bit more palatable, make them a bit more creative. I'm like, no, I'm not going to. Brussels sprouts are Brussels sprouts. I call them the devil's marbles. They're filthy little animals. Have you ever noticed that about Brussels sprouts? They're little devils. You put them on their plate and they turn around and smile at you like this. Stab those little Brussels sprouts. You can put salt on Brussels sprouts. You can put lemon on Brussels sprouts. Some of you are like, you can put a lemon on Brussels sprouts? I made it up. I've got no idea. I don't hate the things. You can put honey on Brussels sprouts. You can put whatever you want on Brussels, but it's still a Brussels sprout. I find in the church today, we want things that appeal to people, make people feel intellectual, make them like just like, yes, I... But friends, I want to encourage you, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Let's call it for what it is and see people's lives change. Amen? It's like, there's this thing at the moment where a lot of the church won't use the word sin. I'm like, why don't you use the word sin? Well, it might offend people. I'm like, yeah, it might offend the hell out of them. Let's talk about sin and get the hell out of them and get Jesus into them, get them set free that they can live a life in Christ. I'm not an ear tickler. If I wanted to be an ear tickler, I'd become an ear specialist and just tickle people's ears and help them with their hearing. That's not what I want to do. All right, you ready here? Here we go, 5 points. The 5 points that Georgie doesn't like. Here we go, point number one. By the way, Georgie, if you're watching, I love you. You can tickle my ears. Point number one, I'm going to worship. That was average. I say, point number one, I'm going to worship. Like Jesus has entered the building, I am going to worship. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers, how many of you know there are true worshippers and there's the other guys? When true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. The Father is seeking a certain type of worshipper. Just because you say you're a Christian, no. He's looking for a worshipper that will worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Friends, can I encourage you, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If you're worshiping the Lord in spirit, you've got to leave your flesh at the door. The flesh always tells you, you don't need to get too crazy. You don't need to get too enthusiastic. What will people say? How many of you know that's all about the flesh? I'm tired. I've had a big week. Give me a break. I've had a big week. I promise you this, if you've got your hands in your pockets during worship, you'll never go and change Cambodia. You'll never do it. If you've got your hands in your pockets during worship, you'll never go and change Brunswick. You'll never go and change the... No. Why? Because this is... It's like, Lord, I need you. I need you. I want to encourage you, lose yourself in the presence of God. We're going to skip through. The other scripture there is, of course, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's what we are before God, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And everybody said, amen. Can I encourage you, worship God. Can I encourage you, be at church on time. On time. Encourage you, if you're watching online, be at church. Be at church. But when you go to church, be at church on time. How many of you, if you go to work late, you're going to get the sack? Amen. But we come into church and it's like, we'll get there when we get there. It's like, worship doesn't do much for me. Worship isn't for you. It's for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to encourage you all, get to church on time. Make it an effort. Make it an effort. I'm going to come and I'm going to worship God. You see me in church every Sunday worshiping God. You might be like, yeah, that's because you're a professional worshiper. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. I'm not a professional worshiper. How do you think I ended up here? I ended up here because I've always done that. We worship.
All right. Welcome to church, everybody.
Praise God. Second thing, here we go. I'm going to drink. Before, as a Christian, we used to have this saying, we're going to drink till we stink. That's what we used to say. As in, we knew where to drink. We knew how to drink. We could drink upright. We could drink laying down. We could drink sitting down. We could drink from the chandeliers. We knew how to drink. As in, that's before I was in Christ. How much more now that I am in Christ should I know how to drink from the river that never runs dry, that is a river of living water? It's like, those days, they're bad days. They never did anything good for me. But you know what? When I came to Christ, I left that drinking behind and I've learned to drink from another fountain. It's like the fountain of youth. That's why I look like a 27-year-old. Because I drink from the presence of God. John chapter 4, reading from verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I don't know about you, I drink more than once a day. Anyone else here drink more than once a day? I'll drink in the morning, I'll drink in the mid-morning, I'll drink at lunchtime, I'll drink in the afternoon. We're talking about lattes and water, just so we're clear. We need to be hydrated. How often do you drink living waters? How often are you praying? How often are you walking with God, talking with God? How often are you in a prayer meeting? How often are you in friendship group? How often are you in church? I need this. Come on, Lord, fill me now. I need to be hydrated. Point number three, I'm going to eat. Georgie's like, can't you find better points? No, Georgie, this is where it's at. John chapter 6, verse 47. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna
in the desert, the natural things of this world, the normal natural things of this world, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Can I encourage you? Be in the Word of God. 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 You're like, when should we be in the Word of God? Every day in the Word of God. Every day in the Word of God. Every day listening to the Word of God. Every day receiving from the Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. All right, takes us to point number four. You ready now? All right, I'm going to serve. Now, before we get here, I know there are brothers and sisters right now that you're like, I've heard that, like, how many times have I heard that? As in, if you understand the economy of heaven, you'll never have a problem with hearing it. And if you love God, you'll never have a problem with hearing it. Maybe you don't like hearing it because you don't love God. You're like, did he say what I thought he just said? Did he say that I don't serve because I don't love God? That's what I said. That's what I said. And you might be like, well, that's harsh. No, it's the Bible. How many of you know it's the Bible? How many of you just, like, you just, don't stare at me like that. How many of you know it's the Bible? I'm trying to help you out. The economy of heaven will set you free. The economy of heaven will hydrate you. You got to know how it works. Let's just jump straight in. Here we go. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. If you welcome a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will receive the same reward a prophet gets. So when I serve a prophet, I receive a prophet's reward. And if you welcome good and godly people because of their godliness, you will give a reward. You'll get a reward like theirs. So I serve others, and what I serve out comes back to me. And if you give even a cup of cold water, if you refresh even the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. So I refresh others and I myself will be refreshed. And you're like, well, is that the best you got? You said that if we don't serve, we don't love God. That's what you said. All right, we'll get there. Let's just continue on. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. A generous man will prosper. And everybody said? Amen. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And everybody said? All right, you refresh others. This is the economy of heaven working right here. What you sow is what you reap. You refresh others, you get refreshed. You bring others a glass of water, you receive a glass of water. All right. You're like, well, is that the best you got then? No, I got another one. All right, I got another one. You're like, well, you got three verses. Is that allowed? Yes, it's allowed. Praise God. You ready for the last? You ready for me to prove my point? You can tell me if I've got it wrong here. Let's read it together. Let's read it together. Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 10. For God is not unfair. And everybody said, amen. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other Christians, as you still do. When you care for other Christians and serve other Christians, you show your love for God. When you don't, you don't. How can I say that I love God, who I can't see, if I don't love my brother and sister who I can see? I know we don't like to speak so frankly about some matters because it makes us all feel uncomfortable, but if that's where it's at, that's where it's at. I'm actually okay with that. If it makes you feel a little uncomfortable, that you might change your posture, change your position, and begin to serve the body of Christ, I'm good for it. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing on my body that doesn't contribute to my body. My body is healthy because it's all working. You're part of the body of Christ and you've got something so precious to contribute. Our great desire is that you will keep right on loving others as long as life lasts. How long? How many of you know that's a long time? Doreen is about to turn 90. I don't know if she, yeah, there she is over here. Doreen is about to turn 90. For the last 22 years of Enjoy Church, Doreen has faithfully turned up every Sunday and made tea for brothers and sisters that come in thirsty. How many cups of tea is that? It's like, Shane, the sister's turning 90. How long are you going to get it to work for? As long as she has breath. Why? Because I'm not going to rip her off the blessing that's coming her way as she serves the body of Christ. And that's why I encourage you to do the same. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. There you go. You won't become dry when you're serving the body of Christ. You will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patience. Point number five, I'm going to fellowship. It's like, well, that's old school. Yep, that's old school, but that's what we do. When you fellowship, you worship. When you fellowship, you drink. When you fellowship, you eat. When you fellowship, you serve. When you fellowship, you know what I'm saying? It's all there when you fellowship. I'm not going to stop fellowshipping. And the scripture is, of course, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Would that be right? Where is it? Well, there she is. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I know it's been tough with COVID. Don't stop meeting. Come back. There is something that happens in this sort of atmosphere that will never happen in your home when you're there by yourself. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Some people are like, well, I don't need it. Well, maybe someone needs what you've got. Maybe someone needs your encouragement. I need your encouragement. You need my encouragement. Let us not give up. Let's encourage each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching, Jesus is going to return. Question is, will his bride be ready? Will the church be ready? I hope so. We will be. We won't be laying in the shower, dehydrated spiritually, as long as we partake of the things that are fundamental to our Christian walk. Be a worshiper. Drink of the Spirit of God. Partake of the Word of God. Serve one another with gladness. Be a fellowshipper. I'm going to be in church. You know, for me, being in church is never a decision. You can ask me to do anything. Sunday, I'll be in church. It's like, well, you have to because you're a pastor. No, I choose because I'm a follower of Christ and I actually believe what I preach. I'm a part of the body. I know where I should be. As in, I've offended all sorts of family members because they wanted me to be places. I'll give you the heads up. Never invite me to your wedding Sunday morning. I'm not coming. Don't invite me to a wedding at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I won't be there. I'm not going to go to my grandfather's 70th birthday on a Sunday because I've got to skip church. I'm not skipping church because I actually believe Jesus Christ laid down his life for me. And if he's prepared to lay down his life for me, then I'm going to be where I need to be. I'm going to be with the body of Christ. As in, the world has got six other days that they can party on. Don't go interrupting my worship of God. You can have that, but not my worship. As in, you know me, I love the football, but there's certain games. I won't go to a game on Saturday night. Why? Because I want to be awake Sunday morning. I give my best to God. Football can wait. The cars can wait. My friends can wait. The stuff can wait. But God, he doesn't have to wait. He's not going to wait. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to drink from him, eat from him. Serve him. I'm going to fellowship. Father, I pray. I pray for every brother, every sister that's here. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Bless him. I pray that you would hydrate their spirits, Lord. Hydrate them. I pray that they would be wise, Lord, wise. Lord, when I'm thirsty, I get up and I go to the fridge. I pray that we would get up and we would come to you in our worship. We would drink from you. We would eat from you. We would please you and love you by serving one another in the midst of wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Oh, Father, we thank you that you've joined us together from all over the world that we might be one people. I pray, Lord God, that we would help each other to the place where we might drink together as kingdom people, children of God. I pray that we would help each other to be hydrated, would encourage one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed, I'm going to ask a very quick question, and then I'm moving on. Just so you know, I'm not going to drag this part of the service out. If brothers and sisters, friends today, if you're in church today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can I encourage you right here, right now, make a decision and give your life to Christ. I'm not going to drag it out. The Bible is very clear in regards to this. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages for that sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you want salvation, if you want to be a child of God, if you want your sins forgiven, You need to say yes to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sin, and he will instantly. And you can become a child of God. Before you leave this place today, you can know that you're in right standing with God. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you're a child of God who is loved by him, even as you would begin a journey of love with him. So from the front to the back, from my right to the left, all over this room today, if you're here and you're saying, Shane, I'm not right with God. I haven't been walking with God. Maybe you used to, but drifted away. Can I encourage you? Come home today. Come home today. Don't let another day go by. Come home today. From the front to the back, from my right to the left, all over this room, you want to give your life to Christ? First time, second time, third time, it actually doesn't matter to me. I don't care about that. What I care about is your relationship with God. If you're away from God and you want to know before you leave this place today, you're in right standing with God, give your life to Jesus today. From the front to the back, from our right to the left, all over the room. If you want to give your life to Christ this morning, this afternoon, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. When you lift it up, don't lift it up a bit, but shoot it all the way up. When I see it go all the way up, I'll simply point at you and say, God bless you. The moment I say, God bless you, the Spirit of the living God is going to come upon you. So from the front to the back, from our right to the left, all over the room, want to give your life to Jesus, on the count of three, shoot that hand up. Here we go. One, two, three. Right now, wherever you are, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. Good job over here. God bless you over here. Well done. Good job. Well done. Well done. Anybody else today saying, Shane, that's it. Up here. God bless you, man. Well done. God bless you, sister. Well done. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Over here. Good job. Well done, man. Well done. Good job. Good job. I understand sometimes it takes a few minutes, say, to go from here to here to hear. But when you do it, it's the beginning of the rest of your life. We're all going to pray a really simple prayer. After the service, someone from our new Christians team, they're going to come to you with a Bible and some other things to help you in your walk with God. I'd encourage you to just lean into them. We'll go on this journey together. See you become everything God wants you to become. Church, why don't we all pray together as our brothers and sisters pray this prayer for the first time, or just as they give their life to God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you today for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, forgive me of my sin and help me, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing and honoring of you. So today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. And I believe from this day on, you are my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. From this day on, I am your child and I'll never be alone again, in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody said together, amen and amen.